The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. We all know about loss in our lives, deep personal loss, but we have trouble talking about it. And I was wondering if it's something that we learn in our culture or cultures, that it's difficult for us to talk about those deepest parts of our broken selves. And I was trying to come up with some of my ideas of why that is so. I came up with three, and perhaps you can come up with some more. One of them perhaps is this eternal optimism that we have, that we're supposed to be happy, successful, because we're in a material world, we're in probably one of the greatest countries in the world, and that puts a burden on us to feel and act as though we're confident and secure and on top of all things. And this is maybe one reason why we have difficulty getting in touch with some of those feelings within ourselves. The other one, of course, is that we also look to the youth. We almost worship youth in this culture. We look and we sell to the youth. All the markets are geared to selling everything they can to the young people because they're the ones that are working, they're the ones that have more money, they're the ones that can be persuaded perhaps in buying the latest fads, the latest homes and cars. And then I said to myself, well, maybe there's another reason why this is going so, and this is because we're afraid of mortality. We don't like to talk about death. We don't like to talk about what's going on in ourselves and why it is that we're afraid of that reality, why it is that we always try to live away from that reality and not live towards it as a way of being free to experience what we have and who we are. And then so with that fear that we have in this culture, with that fear of talking about these different realities that we share in common, we don't know what to do when someone has lost someone, right? A lot of times at work or in a family, if you lose someone, you have someone lost to death or to divorce, and you see them, you don't know what to say. You ever find yourself in that position? You don't know what in the world to share with that individual, so you kind of stay quiet. You kind of almost just play along as though nothing ever happened. And what happens to that individual is that they feel as though they have not been heard. They haven't been taken care of. They haven't been haven't been affirmed in their loss. One of the things that the Jewish tradition does, and I think you know about this, is they sit shiver. The idea behind that is that you sit with the family, and you know, one guy went to the rabbi, and he says, "Rabbi, I don't really, you know, I lost my sister, but I don't know." And the rabbi said, "You will sit shiver, and you will have people stay and sit there with you. You know why? Because you need the company. You need to be able to have these people carry the pain, carry the grief, and help you to process and help you to come back. They'll take care of the little things, you know, the cooking and maybe the cleaning and all that. But you will sit there with those people because they are part of your community. You don't do things alone. You don't go through life alone in this community," he says. And I think that's a wonderful experience. And so with that inability to talk about what it is that is most deeply confounding and painful to us, we have to return back to the scripture. Now, we're in the Easter period. Remember, in the Easter period, we still have one more week, by the way, 7 weeks to Easter. This is the sixth one. We have one more. And so this is the time in which Jesus is with the disciples, and it's John's gospel. It's a Thursday afternoon. They have had their meal. Jesus has washed their feet. Jesus has told them he's going to leave. And right there, they're frightened. Right there, they are unsure of what's going on. And Jesus says, "Don't worry, I'm going to send you something. I'm going to reveal to you something that's going to help you through this time. I'm almost going to carry you through if I could." But the thing that I wanted to point out immediately is this sense of loss and the sense of insecurity that came to these people once Jesus says, "I'm going away to prepare a place." A couple of months ago, Maria and I went to New Mexico. And we stayed in this with a couple of friends of ours, and they had a little cat called Botitas. Botitas is Spanish for boots, little boots. And at first, she was a wild cat, and she's a home cat. And so she's both, because they leave for 6 months, and she's out in the wild, and they come back, and they live with her. So we were unsure how she was going to receive us. So Maria and I kind of warmed up to the cat, best friend in the world. You know, you win her over with a little bit of milk, a little tuna. It works like a charm. So she became our friend, you know, and she was with us all the time. Wherever we were, she jumped on our laps and played with us and all that. But she knew instinctively we were going to leave. After about 10 days, we started to pack our bags, and we packed our bags, and we bring them into the living room, and she goes, and she jumps on top of the car, like saying, "You're not leaving me. You're not going to go." And then so we tried to talk to the little cat, and she would do this, like, "No, just go ahead if you have to go." And so this was her attitude, because she probably had experienced a lot of losses with my friends come and go during the year. But when we were leaving, she didn't know how to really express her sense of loss, but just to ignore it. Like, go already. Go through the door and don't look back. We all have our ways of dealing with these kinds of things, right? When we have losses. And the disciples had the same kind of thing. The disciples knew that Jesus was going to leave, and they didn't know what to do with them. So they figured, oh, we're next. We're next. The powers are going to get us, and they're going to throw us in jail, and we're going to be, tortured and all kinds of stuff. And we don't want that. And Jesus says, okay, look, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you an advocate. And the word advocate in Greek is a parakletos, you know, if you want to use it, friend, use the right word. Parakletos means it's a term that indicates someone who is advocating for you. Like if you go to a court of law, you need an attorney to defend you. So that would be like your advocate, okay? But there's other definitions to this word advocate. There's the comforter. There's a consoler. There's the empowering and the embracing part of that Jesus says this spirit is going to come with you, and he's going to come alongside you, like Jesus did when the disciples were walking on the road of Emmaus. Do you remember that was one of the Easter readings? I'm sure you all remember. You were all here, weren't you? Okay, so anyway, we were all here, and we remember that Jesus was walking, and he came into these two disciples, and he says, "Hi, what's going on?" And then they started to say, "Are you the only one that doesn't know what's going on?" And then he explains to them. But what Jesus did is he came into where they were, what they were experiencing, what they were going through, their timing, their moment, their presence, their impulse. He moved into that without imposing another time, without imposing another speed. He moved into it and adjusted to where they were. And in that process of adjusting to where they were, he was able to call them out and engage them in conversation. What happens in our culture is that we're all at different speeds. Some of us are so quick because we have to do our goals, we have to finish our accomplishments, we have to get things done, that when someone is in a different place in their life, they're depressed or they're unsure, they're slower than you are. And the only way you can tune into them is by slowing down. You can't run into their lives. You can't bombard them with who you are. You have to find out, where are they? What rhythm are they on? So that I can tune in and be able to then to adjust myself to that need, to that tempo, to that depth. And then ask the question, what's going on? And I think that is what's missing in the culture. The culture here is always so fast-paced. We're so working. We work more than anywhere else in the world. Do you know that? All our food is geared for fast work. We have this fast food business that wherever we go, we have to eat. You know, and it used to drive me crazy when I watched the commercials. His mother was, you know, whisking the kids into the van, and she's eating her soup, you know, because she's got to go on the go. And I said to myself, what happened to a decent meal when you sit down and talk to these kids? Will you share with these kids? Will you listen to these kids? In America, really, you have to constantly be on the go. And so what that does, it prevents moments of meeting, moments of interaction, moments of touching, moments of understanding or dialogue that other person. And this is where we miss. This is where we constantly miss each other, because we're so busy doing things that when the moment one person opens themselves up to you in need or in at least predisposition to discuss something with you, you're too busy. You miss it. We're a nation of missed meetings. We're a nation in which, like, we're ships in the night. We keep passing each other. And the thing that we long most for is to have an interaction with somebody that we can feel finally heard and affirmed. And because we don't know how to tune into that, we miss out on this. And so Jesus says the advocate is one that is going to encourage you. And I wanted to stay with that one word, encourage you, because it teaches us that there is so much more in the person and in the experience that's available to you if you take the time to listen to it. Life is not on your schedule, as much as we'd like it to be. We would like things to be on my schedule, 9 to 5, you know, and they're going to, you know, get things done. But the truth is, life has its own pace, its own ebb and flow. And it's up to us, especially not in a business environment, maybe in a church and in a familial environment or a social environment to tune into what's going on. There is a speed. There is a theme. There is a moment. There's an issue that's being surfaced and surfacing itself, asking for your attention, asking for your response. And we don't know how to do that. And so now Jesus says, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send you this Spirit that's going to teach us slowly, sometimes painfully, sometimes maybe reluctantly, how to be able to be in your skin and in your time, to be available to the Spirit of God that is speaking to you right here, right now. Not what you're planning for lunch, not what's going to happen at 5 o'clock during the day, right now, here. There's a book, by the way, it's called Right Now, Here, Here, Now, Right Now. It's a cool book, one of those 60s, you know, kind of book. So the idea is to pay attention to what's before you. And we're such a nation that we're so busy doing everything else that we pride our optimism, we pride our youth, we pride our sense, we don't pride ourselves, but we're afraid of talking about mortality, that, you know, we miss the very basis of what it is to be a human being. These things we have in common. The most one that we have in common is mortality. The fact that we are moving in a time sequence, a dance of life and death that we are part of, that we have to learn to dance with, not to be afraid of. It's a way that we become more, and this is where we have the biggest basis with each other. If we can get that reality, we can really talk to each other for the first time, woman to woman, person to person, human to human. But we've got to open ourselves to these things and not be so afraid to protect ourselves and cover ourselves and pretend we're so independent, so strong and so unneeding of anybody else. Where does that come from? I tell you where it comes from. This is my personal prejudice. I think it comes from because if they keep you away from those feelings, they can manipulate you. And when I say they, I'm talking about a whole market that's out there that are professionals that know how to make you feel weak and insecure in such a way that they can make you pay anything that you can for an object, make you act the way they want you to act, buy what they want you to buy, and be who they want you to be. And as long as you fall for that kind of crap, you are not going to be an individual. You are not going to be able to embrace the grace of God. And the grace of God is revolutionary. When God comes to you and he comes alongside you, he sets you free. Sets you free to be who you are no matter what that is. And most of our life is spent trying to find out who am I, isn't it? And all these other pressures keep us away from that. So Jesus says, I'm going to send you a comforter that's going to empower you. Empower you to what? To be free of all of this stuff. To be free of all of these entanglements in front of all of these persuasive advertisings and ideas so that you can finally be the person you are. Wouldn't that be a great thing to happen? Wouldn't it be wonderful just to be yourself? I don't know if you saw this. I thought it was crazy, but funny as heck. Facebook. I do Facebook once in a while. And by the way, I saw this woman who married herself celebrating individuality. I thought it was the wildest thing. She had a whole marriage ceremony for herself. And, you know, they had this guy with this stupid miter on playing around, and he married her to herself. And so she was celebrating individuality because I think especially women have rarely had that opportunity to be individual. You're identified with a man. You're identified by your children. You're identified by your duties. You're identified by what you have to do. But just for you who you are, is something that's very rare. That shouldn't do just that one instance. But we as a people, we have to experience our relationship with God as God is walking with us and saying, hey, Clarence, how you doing, my man? What's up? How's your day going? That kind of invitation that God is asking us to do with one another. Faye, how are you, Faye? How's that nice work going? Are you selling some new buildings? Yeah, whatever it is that you feel God personally involved in your life, opening that life up to others, because God is not visible unless you find it in the other. God is not an abstract principle. God is not a rarefied reality that's separate from the reality of where we live. God is between us. God is within us. God is asking us as a community to engage in that community reality to find God. That's why he came first, and he became an enfleshed God, an incarnated God, so that we can consider him one of us. And now, you find him everywhere through each of us. Do you remember the Star Wars? When the Jedi or whatever, he says, go with the Force. Remember that? And that's why he has a big fight with the evil person, and then he allows himself to be destroyed. And then his student is frightened. He says, where is he now? And someone said, he's everywhere. Now he's everywhere. For you, for me, for us. So that's the point, I think, that I wanted to stress today, that even though we're afraid of talking about these things, we have to talk about them. How are we going to deny who we are? How are we going to deny what we are? And that is where we find that God, who is ever present and never taken from our reality. So don't be so individualistic. Don't be so strong or so confident. Don't be so, you know, I can do these things by myself. Listen to yourself and then listen to somebody else. Because only then can we embrace the reality of the whole. Only then can we embrace the reality of God, who says, I am between you. I am with you always to the end of the world. Amen.